remember sitting out on the front porch at my friend. I've mentioned this probably before in preaching, but I remember sitting on the front porch. I don't know why. It's funny how certain things stick out in your mind from your childhood. I say childhood. I was a teenager at the time, probably 17, 18 years old. But I can remember sitting out on my front on the front porch of my friend Courtney. And we were sitting on the front porch and really up to no good at that time in our lives, looking out into the sky. And I remember telling Courtney, there's more to life than this. There's something more than this. And I don't know why I remember it so clearly, but I remember us having a conversation just thinking, you know, this is a big world we live in, and there's something more than what's going on here in Greene County. And man, I'm glad I found out what it was. It could be somebody here tonight. I was thinking while they were singing, I was looking out across the auditorium a little bit, and there could be somebody here tonight, and you don't know what they're singing about. You've heard about it, but you've never experienced it. You know about it, but you don't know about it. You understand what I'm saying? You're still searching. You're still wondering. Can I tell you? I'm so glad that I found him. He found me. But you know what I mean. I'm so glad that I know that there is something to life bigger than just life. Amen. And it's Jesus. Amen. He's everything that my soul could have ever longed for. All those things that I was searching for, that I was looking for, and all those places I was looking, and I came up just as empty as when I began. But I'm so glad that October the 16th, 2005, I bowed my head and my heart. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I found the one that's more wonderful than anything this world has to offer. And so if you're here tonight and you haven't found him, or better yet, he hasn't found you, can I tell you, it'd be a good time. It'd be a good time. He's more wonderful. That song is a great truth. He's more wonderful than anything this world will ever offer you. More wonderful. Words cannot express how wonderful he is. I'm trying to move on. I'm going to move on. I don't got a lot tonight. I mean that. I really don't. And so don't get nervous, okay? It's okay. You got a short work week anyway. That's right. Amen. Let's get into the message. It is good to see James here tonight. James, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I could. I could. He's done enough to give me ammunition to embarrass him with, but it sure is good to see James here tonight. I didn't even know he was here when Meredith said that, and it just brightened me up when I heard that. Jay Money, right? Y'all say, where'd he get that name? I think I gave it to him. I don't know, but I think I gave it to him at youth conference one year, and it kind of stuck, and boy, I could tell some tales about James, but it's good to see him here tonight. Those of you that don't, I couldn't hear what he said. I can't hear. I'm half deaf, especially on, you know, one side, but I couldn't hear what he said. But those of you that don't know, James is serving in the military, and we appreciate your service, James, and so it's just good to see you here tonight. He's home for a short time for Christmas, and he texted me and told me he was coming to church, and I'm glad he did. I want to talk to you tonight about the first Christmas song. I said this morning I was going to preach on the first Christmas songs, and I said songs, plural, right? And so you're getting real nervous. If you wasn't nervous, now you are, right? And I had Pastor read one. Some of you may have wondered, where's he going with that? What Christmas songs are there, right? And I'm of the persuasion, and I'm going to give you some of the reasons here in a moment, that what we read and what Pastor read in Luke chapter number 1 from Mary is a song, okay? Or a psalm, you could say. And I don't know that it was to music. I tend to believe that it was not, as most songs when they were birthed were not. The music was added at a later date. But I believe that this was a song. And I believe there's other songs in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Now, there's some debate about just how many. Some people believe there's 4, some 5, some 6. We won't look at all those tonight. So, but I do believe these are songs or psalms, as the Jewish people would call them, and so I think a lot of the Christmas songs that we sing, most of them are only a couple hundred years old, right? I don't know if you knew this, but I looked some up, and I want to give them to you. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen was written in 1760. It's one of the older songs, Christmas songs, that we sing. We Three Kings, if what I read was accurate, was written in 1863. What Child Is This? 1871. O come all ye faithful, that's an older one, 1751. Silent Night, 1818. I was surprised by this one. I thought Josh Groban wrote, and I'm just playing. Oh, Holy Night, right? 1847. I didn't realize that song was, the way it's sung, I just thought it was a little bit newer than that. I didn't think it was more recent, but I thought maybe the 1900s. Hark the Herald Angels Sing was written in, was published in 1855, but what I read was that it was actually written in 1739. I believe one of the Wesley brothers, Charles Wesley, wrote it, and then maybe Whitfield added a verse to it, and then it was finally published and put to music. It was written as, I think, a poem, maybe, or a song, but it didn't have music until 1855. Joy to the World, 1719. So, I mean, over 300 years that song has been being sung. Now, some of them have changed over the years, but I just thought it was interesting how that most of the Christmas songs we sang are 200 or 300 years old. But the Christmas song that I want to look at tonight, I believe, is a couple thousand years old, right? It's Christmas songs from the Bible, from the very first Christmas. And I was thinking how that that there's no other holiday, kind of what led me down this road. I was really wanting to preach out of James, and I was just going to go ahead and preach James because I was already in the book of James, and I thought, I can even preach a Christmas message out of James. James chapter 2 is about being preferring others or being prejudiced, so to speak, and I thought, well, what better time than Christmas? I mean, it's joy to the world, right? It's good news for all people. Right? And so I thought, well, I could just preach a Christmas message on how that the gospel's for everyone and we shouldn't show favoritism to anyone. But God just wouldn't give me any peace about that. And so I began to think, and I was thinking about Christmas, and I was thinking about some of the Christmas songs, and I began to do some research, as I've already mentioned to you. And I thought it's very interesting how that Christmas is one of the only holidays that is known from its music. If you think about it. It's one of the only holidays that has so much music to it. Now, I thought of the 4th of July. There's some music that goes along with the 4th of July. If I were to ask you some 4th of July songs, you could give me 2 or 3, 4 maybe patriotic songs that kind of go along with Independence Day. But if I were to begin to go through the holidays, very few of them would you have so many songs that you could add to that holiday. But yet Christmas is known for music. I thought, why is that? Why is it that Christmas is so known as a holiday of music? Everywhere you go to the Christmas stores, you go into restaurants, you go into public places, even as you pump your gas, there's Christmas songs on the radio, and many of those Christmas songs are actually Christmas songs, right? Some of them are Christmas time songs. They're not about Christ. But many of them are Christmas songs. They are about Christ. No other time will you walk into a public place and hear the name of Christ being exalted the way that you do at Christmas time. It's not uncommon to hear "O Holy Night" in a public place, even today. And that's amazing. I thought, why is it that Christmas is so connected to music? And I think there's probably numerous reasons. I think it's always been that way, as we're going to see tonight. But I think it's beyond that. I thought about this. You know, the Bible says that God has given us a song. Christians got a song, right? God has put a song in our heart. If you're saved, God has given you a song to sing, right? And all throughout the Bible actually says that if you're filled with the Spirit, that you will speak to yourselves in hymns, in songs, in spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when a Christian gets saved and when they get Spirit-filled, God just gives them a song. And I thought, wow, that's more evidence to the fact that regardless of whether the world tries to convince you or whether even some Christians try to convince you, many Christians will try to convince you that what we're celebrating is pagan. I don't believe that it is. I believe the fact that there's so many songs that talk about it is proof that it's not pagan. It's Christian in its origin. Now, as pastors already stated in previous messages, now whether the date was December the 25th and some of the activities that go along with it, whether they're scripture or not, but the event itself, the fact that we celebrate that Christ came to this world and that we celebrate this holiday called Christmas, I believe the songs that we sing, all the music that goes with it, is more evidence that it was founded by Christians, people that had a song in their heart. And they began to write it down. They began to write music to go along with Christmas. You can't deny the foundation of this holiday, nor it's kind of like the idea that people try to deny that America was founded as a Christian nation. Can I tell you, all you got to do is look back. Look at the evidence. Look at the statues. Look at the scriptures. Look at the songs. It's Christian. And can I tell you, so is Christmas. Christmas is Christian. I thought about this. How many of you know a good Halloween song? I'm serious. I was thinking maybe some of you can sing one. I don't know. Please don't. He done raised his hand. I'm sure there's one or two out there, you know. Charlie Brown might have sang one in his, you know. But I tell you this, there's not many of them. You know why? Because the devil doesn't have a song. Well, he's got one. He's got a lot of them, actually. But those holidays, they don't put a song in your heart. But Christmas will put a song in your heart because it's about Christ. It's a holiday that we've set aside to celebrate Christ. And so I thought about all those things and how that music is a big part of Christmas. And I began to look at the book of Luke, and I knew a little bit about it, but I didn't know a lot. And so I began to read and to study some of the songs or psalms in the book of Luke. And as I said, it's a very interesting study. Maybe some of you already know this, maybe some of you don't, but I'll tell you this. I don't like to repeat things without researching them first, okay? And so I was real careful about it. I was like, you know what? I don't want to get up and preach something that's Catholic. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know where it started. I don't know where it come from. And I don't want to just repeat something without doing some research first. So I began to do some research, and I began to study and try to find out, why do they call this a song? Why do they call some other sections of Scripture that we're just going to mention? I'm not going to read them tonight for sake of time, but I'm going to mention them. Why do they call them songs? And I thought it was a very interesting study, and I tend to believe what I studied, and I'll kind of make it as simple as I can make it. I'll give you the simple version as to why I believe that these are songs or psalms or possibly poems, and it basically boils down to this. Number one, because of the structure of them, okay? You say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? Well, I'm not going to get into it, but if you were to read these psalms and you were to line them up next to some old, these songs, or if you were to line them up next to some of the psalms, what you will find is that they're structured very similar to the psalms, especially when you study them in the language in which they were given. We're reading them in the English language. That's why many of the psalms that we read and we think, man, that would be a weird song. You ever read a psalm and thought, man, that just don't, I couldn't imagine singing that. Well, it's because it was in Hebrew. Okay, you all right? I mean, that's the truth, okay? It's the same, it's a song, but the song was sung in the Hebrew tongue, and it probably sounds a lot more pretty that way. Now, I'm not saying, I've heard some psalms that we sing in the English language, and they can be pretty. But what I'm saying is, if you were to study the structure of these psalms in the book of Luke, what you would find is that they're very similar to the book of Psalms. They're poetic. They have a structure that lines up with the psalms. And not only is it the structure, but it's the substance of them. It's what they're saying. And I'm not going to take the time to dig into it. You do it yourself. It's very interesting. Many of these songs that I'm going to mention to you, if you were to do the research, what you're going to find is that you can find a lot of the same substance in the psalms. I think of even this one here. I mean, you line this song of Mary up with the song of Hannah, and that's not in the Psalms, but it's amazing the similarities. But you can even line it up beside some other psalms, and you will find that it's very similar, not only in its structure, but in its substance, what it's speaking about. And so there's a couple songs in the book of Luke, and I just want to look at a couple of them. Don't get nervous. I'm going to give you four words. I'm not going to preach them line by line. This is literally a series of messages. This is not a one message sermon. It's a series of messages if you were really going to try to dissect these psalms here. And I said already that some people believe there's six of them. And we won't look at them, but
but there's the some people believe that the psalm, that it starts with Elizabeth in verse number 42, where it says, blessed art thou among women. And then she finishes verse 45, and blessed is she that believed. And that would go along with some of the psalms. It starts with a blessing, and it ends with a blessing. And so some people believe that Elizabeth kind of sang a song. But I'm going to start with Mary, and I just want to look at one thing about Mary's psalm. And as I said, you could probably preach a series of messages on this psalm alone, on this song of Mary. It's packed with truth. But I just want to give you one truth, and it's one that we've already kind of experienced tonight. And it's just one thought from this song of Mary, and it's this. I think that what Mary is saying in this song is, I believe it's a song of adoration. A song of adoration. You say, what is adoration, Brother David? I looked it up. Adoration means homage that is paid to one of high esteem. It is profound reverence. It's worship. That's what adoration is. And if you read this psalm, you can't help but see that Mary is worshiping God. I already mentioned it. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It's as if she's saying the same thing that David said in Psalm 103 when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She said, I just want to worship God. She said in the next verse, she said, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. It's as if she's saying, all that is within me. I thought about how Pastor, when he came back from Peru, he kept talking about all that is within me. That's my soul. That's my spirit. That's my flesh. That's everything that I am, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might, with everything that I am. I want to worship God. That's what Mary is saying. She's saying, my soul magnifies God. My spirit rejoices in God. Mary says, I just want to adore God. I just want to reverence God. I just want to worship God. It's all about God. I don't understand how the Catholic Church could even begin. You say, why did you mention Catholic earlier, Brother David? Because it's false religion, brethren. It's false religion. Any religion that would promote Mary to a place that she doesn't belong, Mary didn't do that. I'll tell you what, Mary was promoting God. Mary said, my soul doth magnify God. She said, my spirit rejoices in the Lord, in God my Savior. She's magnifying God. She's adoring God. If you look down through here, you know what you're gonna see in this song of Mary? Look at verse number, I underlined it here in my Bible. In verse number 48, she said, he hath regarded my low estate, the low estate of his handmaiden. It's he. It's his. Verse 49, he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Do you see it? 17 times she said, he, his, him. It's all about him. Mary said, this song that I'm singing is about him. She said, I want to worship him. He hath done. It's all his. It's not mine. It's not me. It's him. Can I tell you, that's the story of Christmas. It's about him. See, if we're not careful, you know, we'll make Christmas about us. It'll be about what we're going to get for Christmas. It's about what we can get. It's about, and I'm not even minimizing, it's all about our salvation, and thank God for salvation. But can I tell you, Christmas is not about us. It's about him. It's for his glory. It's glory to God in the highest. It's not glory to me in the highest. It's not glory to you in the highest. It's not glory to the world in the highest. No, it's glory to God in the highest. It's all about him. It's a song of adoration. It's a song of worship. Psalm 34, 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And he said this, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. It's about the Lord, brethren. I know you know this. But if we're not careful, we'll buy into this stuff that's being sold in the world today, that it's about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Worship Him this Christmas. Adore Him this Christmas. As the songwriter of old, I don't know, 1700s, said, "Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him," right? "Oh, come, let us adore Him." In O Holy Night, it said, "Let us bow down and worship Him." It's all about Him. It's a song of adoration. Number two, I want to look at the song of Zechariah. Chapter number one. Look in verse number 67. Verse number 67, many believe this is a song that Zechariah sung. In verse number 67, it says, "And his father, Zacharias." I like this, and I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but you know what you're going to find about each one of these people is what they're about to say about Zacharias. I already told you that when you're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says you'll speak to yourselves in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, right? Singing and making melody in your heart. Look what it says about Zacharias. It says his father, Zacharias, look at it, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, Simeon was filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. We'll look at Simeon here in a minute. He had a song. Guess what? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Right. It's all. If we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to have a song to sing. Amen. There's going to be a song in our heart, and it's going to be one of adoration. It's going to be a song of worship, a song of about Him. Not only that, it's a song of appreciation. I believe Zacharias was singing a song of appreciation. Look at verse number 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." I looked up that word blessed. Guess what? It's not the same word Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not. Not even close. The word blessed in the Sermon on the Mount is happy. Oh, so happy is the man that does this and does that. You know what this word blessed means? It's the word where we get our word eulogy. It's literally, if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, it says that it says praising or thanking, thanking, right? It's thanking or praising someone. It's eulogizing them. It's talking about them in a positive way. And what Zechariah is doing, he's saying, look at verse number 68. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." He said, "I just want to thank the Lord God of Israel. I just want to thank God." What for, Zechariah? Because God has done what He said He was going to do. He said, "I want to thank God for what He has done." Look at it in verse 68. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation to the house of His servant David. He spake by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began." He says, "I want to just thank God for what He's done." He said, "I don't even want to thank Him for what He has done. I want to thank Him for what He's going to do." Look at verse number 76. It says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest." He said, "I want to thank Him for what He has done, but I want to thank Him for what He's going to do." He says, "Thou shalt be called thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord and prepare His ways." He said, "I want to thank God for what He has done, and I want to thank God for what He's going to do." He says, "I just want to thank God." Brother, can I tell you what we ought to do this Christmas? And Pastor's already mentioned it. He mentioned it this morning in his message when he was talking about gratitude. What we need to do this Christmas is thank God. Amen. This Christmas ought to be a Christmas of gratitude, a Christmas of appreciation. When we sing these Christmas songs, we ought to sing them with a heart of appreciation. The fact that God sent His Son into the world to die for the sins of the world, and that we could have forgiveness, and that we would have a message to share with a lost and dying world. It's a song of appreciation. It's a song of adoration. It's a song of appreciation. Number three, I'm moving as fast as I can. Not only that, look in chapter 2, look at verse number 13. I find another song. It says, "And suddenly," in verse number 13, "there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts," look at it, "praising God and saying," I don't know about you, say, "Well, I don't know if these are songs." I'll guarantee you this is a song. I'm telling you right now, this is a song right here. They said, it says there was a multitude of angel, a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, what were they saying? What were they singing? They were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You say, what kind of song is that? That's a song of acclamation. That's a song of acclamation. You say, what does that mean? Well, I looked up acclamation, and it means this. It means a loud, eager expression of approval. It's a praise. And get this, I like this. If you look up acclamation, you'll find this definition. It's a praise given by a large audience. I'll give you an example. When we do some of our mission stuff here and we take on a missionary, we decide as a church to give some money for a mission work. Many times, you know what we'll say? We'll say, let's take a vote and we're going to do it with a hearty amen. You know what that is? It's an acclamation. Let's take a vote with a hearty acclamation, with a hearty amen, with an applause. Sometimes a group of people will stand up and applaud someone. And you know what they're doing? They're saying, that was good. They're saying, I'm approving of that. Right? And that's what these angels were doing. It was an acclamation. It's the shortest of these songs, but I believe it was sung the loudest. It was a vote of acclamation. It's as if the angels were giving God an applause. Literally, the you know, we get these pictures in our mind because we've watched so many movies and cartoons, and we think that things happen a certain way. I don't know how this happened. I read about it a little bit, and it's actually very interesting that if you read this word, the wording that was used here that says that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, that it could be that they were not in the sky. Don't y'all throw nothing at me, okay? I know half y'all sleep anyway, but don't throw nothing at me, okay? It could be that they were just scattered all across that field. There's nothing that says that they were in the sky, okay? If you can find it, show it to me. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I don't think they might have been in the sky. They might have been in the field, in the sky. They might have been everywhere. I don't know where they were. I just know this, it was a lot of them, and you know what they were doing? They were singing. They were praising God, and they were given an acclamation. They were singing a song of applause, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This group of angels, this multitude of a heavenly host, I don't know how many it was, but I tend to believe it was a multitude, just like the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. There's a multitude, and you know what they're doing? They're singing, and they're praising God, and they're applauding the fact that Jesus has come. It's a song of acclamation. And then last, and I'm done, look at Luke chapter 2. Look at verse number 29. Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 29. Well, verse 27, it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. It's talking about Simeon. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I believe Simeon was singing a song of affirmation. Affirmation is the confirmation of something that was decreed. I believe Simeon was singing a song of affirmation. He said, God told me that I would see thy salvation before I die. God, I believe God had given Simeon an insight, and he knew that he was going to see the Savior. And when he saw that little baby, when he saw the Lord Jesus come into the temple, Simeon bursted out in song, and it was a song of affirmation. It was a song saying that you have fulfilled your promise. Can I tell you, all these songs that we sing, all these Christmas songs, all the activities, all the festivities, all the sermons, everything that we do around this time of year, you know what it ought to be? It ought to be affirmation. It ought to be a reminder that God does what he says he's going to do. He always has, and he always will, and the world can try to stop it, but they can't. It's done. He did it. And the fact that we're still celebrating Christmas is affirmation that God did what he said he was going to do. They can't stop him. The world wants to shut him out, but they can't. They've been trying for thousands of years to shut down Christianity, but can I tell you, they're not going to shut it down. And Simeon said, it's a song of affirmation. God has done what he said he's going to do, and Christmas ought to be a reminder to us that he always does. Can I just challenge you with this as we close tonight? This Christmas, as we sing the songs, and And maybe you ought to listen to the songs as you sing them, or really pay attention to what you're singing. And I'm speaking to myself as well. As we sing these songs, as we hear these messages, you say, I've heard it before. I know I have too. But as we hear it, why don't we adore Him? Why don't we worship Him? Why don't we reverence Him? He's worthy. Why don't we show some appreciation this Christmas? We got so much to be thankful for. And I know many of you already have. You stood up tonight and testified of God's goodness in your life. Can I tell you, thank Him for what He has done, but I'll give you even more. You can thank Him for what He's going to do. Because He's going to do everything He says He's going to do. Because as Brother Greg said, He's good like that. And so this Christmas, let's adore Him. Let's appreciate Him. Let's sing a song of acclamation. Let's applaud Him. When we get together, we ought to do it with a spirit of acclamation, where we all lift our voices in one accord and lift our hearts and in worship to God. And I even thought this, and I know in Baptist churches you get in trouble for this every now and then. I'm okay with it. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I ain't okay with clapping for the singer, but I sure am okay with clapping for the song. There's been a couple songs I want to clap for. I just want to, in my heart, I'm applauding the fact that God is so wonderful. He's more wonderful than anything could ever be. He's more than wonderful. I just want to do like Joe did that one Sunday morning. I just want to stand up and give Him a round of applause and say, yes, thank you, God. You're a good God, and I just want to applaud you, and I just want to thank you, and I just want to worship you, and I just want to tell you how good you are. A song of acclamation. And then last, I don't even know what my last point was, affirmation. This Christmas, why don't we let the songs that we sing and the messages we hear just remind us, in case your faith has started to flicker or something and it's starting to go out, and maybe this Christmas, you just kind of, the devil's beating you up. Can I remind you that they've been celebrating this for almost 2,000 years, and until Jesus comes, they're going to keep celebrating it? And it ought to affirm to you that He is who He said He is. He did what He said He was going to do, and He's going to continue to do what He says He's going to do. If He came to a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, can I tell you, He's coming back in the sky to Jerusalem again one day, just like He left. The angels in Acts chapter 1 said, this same Jesus, the same way that He left, He's coming again. Just like He came then, He's going to come again. And this Christmas, it ought to affirm that for us. It ought to confirm what's been decreed, that Jesus is who He says He is, who the Bible says He is. Songs, the first songs of Christmas. And there's one more that people think that Anna had a song. So some think four songs, some think five, some think six. I don't care. I think they're just good songs. Amen. All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet. Thank you for your attention.